The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101. We're so happy you joined us this week. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that will help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's your host, Susan Bartlestone.
Hey, in case you're not sure where you are, this is the Personal Safety Radio Show with an optimistic perspective on a sober subject. I'm your host, Susan Bartlestone. And I'm so glad that you've joined me today, because it's always a great privilege to spend the next hour with you and helping you keep yourself safe. And I've got such an interesting show for you today. First up, I'm going to be talking to internationally known psychopathologist and lecturer Sandra Brown, author of How to Spot a Dangerous Man, about how to leave a man who's abusing you, and how to break the pattern that women especially so often have of going from one abusive man to another abusive man, from one disastrous or unhealthy relationship to another. And considering how many women end up in prison because of a bad man in their life, and you know what, statistics say that over 90% of women in prison have experienced violence in their lives, well, you know, this is a really timely topic. In my second segment, I'll be talking to prison coach Stephen Oberfest. When socialites, professional athletes, and high-profile white criminals get convicted of crimes, he's the man they call before those prison gates close in order to learn how to cope with life behind bars. I've also got a new segment on the show that I think you'll love. A month or two or so, I did a show about web sleuthing with Tricia Griffiths, the owner of WebSleuths.com, which is one of the largest and best true crime forums on the web. And that show got such a great response that I know there are a lot of you ad detectives out there who want to solve cold case crimes and find missing people. So I've invited Patricia back to help me open up the show today with a report about what's hot on the forum these days. And, of course, we're going to end the show with the Crime Prevention 101 version of America's Most Wanted, which I call Let's Catch a Criminal. Today I'll be speaking with Lieutenant Thomas Kern, who's with the Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana and who also chairs the board of directors of Crime Stoppers USA. Maybe, just maybe, we can catch a few criminals for them. If you know somebody who should be listening to this show today, please give out a tweet or something, because I want them to be able to join us too. All right, so let's just jump right in. I want to introduce you to Tricia Griffiths. She is the owner, as I said, of the largest web sleuthing crime community on the net, websleuths.com, as well as forumsforjustice.org, which particularly focuses on the JonBenet Ramsey case. And you can talk about murder cases that have never been solved, help find missing children, and whatever. Hi, Tricia.
Hi,
how are you doing today?
I'm great, and thank you so much for having me back. I look forward to this. It's going to be very interesting, entertaining, and I hope maybe even get some people involved after they hear what's going on Web Sleuth.
I hope so, too. So now, what cases, or what's going on the forums this week? Or what,
well, let me just tell you something really interesting that happened that I bet your listeners haven't heard about yet. One of the biggest high-profile cases in a long time, that's the Kaylee Anthony case. The little toddler was missing, and her mother, Casey, has been arrested for her murder and is awaiting trial in Orlando. You remember Mark Furman? Mark Furman from the O.J. Simpson case. And
I sure do.
Yes, he has since gone on to write books, and he's quite the detective himself. And anyway, Fox News hired him to be on the ground in Orlando as their reporter, to do reports back and forth. And while he was doing that, while he had time in between when he had to be on Fox News, he did a little investigating himself. He was on, I believe, the Sean Hannity show a couple of days ago, and he said that he found something that is extremely important to the case in the Kaylee Anthony case. He found it. He has turned it over to the prosecution, but he won't tell us what it is. And that just makes me crazy. We need to know. But, of course, for the case, it would not be a good idea if that information was out, because then what happens is that just gives the defense a chance to try and spin a story around it. It's all about just getting the truth out, not spinning the truth or turning it around. Just get the truth out. So it'll be interesting to see. They predict that the Anthony case will not go to trial until 2011. So it'll be interesting to see if Mark Furman's prediction of his extremely important piece of evidence really is that extremely important. Now, here's a case that probably people haven't heard about, but is fascinating, and people can really come over to Web Sleuths and help us with. It's called the Wix case, W-I-X, and that is two girls missing, actually a mom and a daughter, Jennifer Wix, 21, and Adriana Wix, 2 years old. Now, on March 24th, 2004, Jennifer called her mom, Kathy. She was living with her boyfriend and her boyfriend's parents at the time. His name is Joey Benton, and they lived in a large house on a very large property with a bunch of other houses as well. It's kind of almost, it sounds like a compound almost. Okay. Anyway, Jennifer told her mother that they were having problems. She was very upset, and they spoke for a little bit, and Jennifer said, well, I'll call you tomorrow, Mom, and Kathy said, okay. She never heard from her daughter again. Now, Joey told law enforcement that he and Jennifer had argued that evening, and he took her to an interstate exit where she asked him to pull over. She got out of the car with her daughter and then got into either a four-door Camaro or Mustang and drove away. Now, what's interesting, there are no four-door Camaro or Mustang. So right there, you know what it's called. Yes.
Okay.
Well, people in the community, including, everybody from police on down to the people on the street, are saying that the bodies of the two girls, the mom and the daughter, are buried on the Benton property. Now, in 2005, the Benton said that, yes, you can come and search. Come and search if you want. We want to help you. So Kids, an organization headed by Mark Klass, went in there, set up the search. They were ready to search, and then the Bentons said, no, we're not going to give you permission to go on our property and search. By denying permission, it just shines the guilt light on them. Why wouldn't they want them to come and look on their property? There is only one reason why. And so what happened was, just a couple of days in 2004, after Jenny went missing, her mom, Kathy, contacted Web Sleuths and said, I need help. I don't know what to do. And we had a moderator. Her name was Tybee. She has since passed away, unfortunately. She helped Kathy set up a forum on Web Sleuths to talk about the case, and then members gravitated toward that case, even so far as going to, in 2005, getting a press release sent to local TV stations. And the Web Sleuths members have not stopped trying to get the Wix case out there in the public eye, because it's just as important. There is just as many people in the Wix case who are brokenhearted because they're missing their loved one as there are in all the other cases, and that's what's so frustrating. And anyway, she tried to get the Talking Heads, the Nancy Graces, the Geraldos, to listen to her story, and our members even went so far as to email and send letters to those people to no avail. But Kathy told one of our members just this morning that, you know, thank you for the people on Web Sleuths, because at least I know they care, and we do. Now, we have an unidentified body forum where if an unidentified body turns up, what our members will do is they'll go on that forum, get all the information, compare it to Jennifer and Adriana, and make sure that it's not them, or it could be them. So our Web Sleuths members will never give up. But that's Jennifer Wix, Adriana Wix. Just come to websleuths.com and find it and join in, because we need your participation, absolutely.
Oh, this is amazing. And now, how long was this? These two people been missing?
2004, so it's almost been 6 years.
Wow.
And nobody's heard about it. That's the thing. It's got all the components that usually grab the attention of everybody. You know, you've got the boyfriend living with the parents. What does that tell you? The parents protecting their son, won't let anybody search on the property. What does that tell you? It's all there for some reason. just one of those weird, quirky things. They won't pick up on it, and that's what is so frustrating, Susan. I mean, this case is just as important as any of the others, and we just can't seem to get it. Now, we do have, you wouldn't believe the people that go missing every year in our country, and we have a missing persons forum, and we invite family members that have loved ones missing to come on and talk about it, because there's people there from all over the world on Web Sleuth. They'll just rush in to help. Now, we have somebody named Harry Brown. He started a fire that killed a person, and so he's charged with murder. Well, he took off, and Harry Brown has been missing since 1924, but he's still on the persons list. He's probably in a grave somewhere. I don't think we need to worry about Harry. But that just goes to show you how long this list has been up there. There's Cynthia Don Kinney. I'm sure nobody's probably heard of her. Missing in Oklahoma, she's 16. Carol Mitchell, missing from California. Roger Ellison, 1981. He vanished from high school, just disappeared one day. It's so tragic and so awful, especially for these families. They need a place to go to get support, and that's what we try and offer at Web Sleuth, in addition to bringing all the big, high-profile cases to center stage, if you will.
Well, let's just kind of go over again exactly what Web Sleuth is. If you missed this show, and it is in the archives on my Voice America host page, but just talk quickly about that, because this is so important. This is a place for people to sort of almost the last resort to get help. How does Web Sleuth work real quick?
First, the first thing we do is we do not ever interfere with a case. We don't ever, you know, go around and try and find evidence ourselves or anything. That's not what we do. You come on, you don't need to come on and participate in a case. You can still come on and post about it and post your opinions. You can do that. That's just as important, too. But what we do is we have a huge forum that's made up of criminal cases, criminal trials, and missing persons, unidentified persons. We have all these topics on our forum. One case, you have a missing child that you can't seem to get attention for. Come to our website. We'll put a thread up about it and invite members to come in and discuss it. And what you'll find is people from the area locally will start to get involved and help the family. That's what we try and do. We basically, it's almost like giving someone a cyber hug and holding them and saying, you know, we'll try and help all we can. And then we also talk about the high-profile cases like the Kaylee Anthony case and the Haley Cummings case. And that's really interesting, too, because there's have lots of opinions and lots of ideas. All you need to do to join is have an email address. We don't accept free email addresses. You just come on, and there's a little tab you click to join, and that's all you need to do. I did say we didn't need free email addresses. Sorry about that. So we just invite everybody to come on and join. It's a lot of fun. It can be kind of tragic and stressful sometimes. But everybody has something to offer, Sue. I don't care who you are. Even if you can't get out of the house, your opinion matters to us. Because let me tell you, the police from all over the country come to Web Sleuth constantly. And you know why? Because it's like a giant spitballing session. Their brains are fried trying to come up with something. They'll come to Web Sleuth and go, hey, I never thought of that. Happens all the time.
Fantastic. All right, make sure to check out websleuth.com and add your voice to the forums. They also have lots of great crime prevention information there, too, Amber Alerts, all these different things. Tricia, thank you so much. And
thank you.
We're going to be talking again real soon, right, about this the true crime community.
Absolutely. I can't wait, Susan. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. All right, now, my dear audience, what do I need from you right now? I need you to stay tuned, because you're going to find out what to do if you've got a dangerous man in your life.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
Hi, this is Susan Bartlestone, host of Crime Prevention 101, and I want to tell you about My Mobile Witness, a revolutionary service that transforms your camera phone into a personal safety device. My Mobile Witness believes safety is improved when you remove anonymity from dangerous scenarios. If you're in a stalking situation, for example, if you have an order of protection against someone, or if your profession places you in situations that are potentially dangerous, I want you to check out My Mobile Witness. And you parents of college students, ask the school to check out the My Mobile Witness University program with custom-tailored options aimed at keeping both students and faculty safe. Every campus could benefit from the My Mobile Witness University service. For more information, go to mymobilewitness.com.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com. You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Hello, Susan Bartlestone here. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with psychopathologist Sandra Brown, and there's plenty of show left to tune in for, so please start tweeting about us. All right, now I want to introduce my next guest. Psychopathologist Sandra Brown, pioneering work on women who love psychopaths, is internationally recognized. Her books, including the award-winning How to Spot a Dangerous Man, her CDs, her DVDs, and other materials, have been used in women's prison, drug rehabs, domestic violence shelters, college campuses, and various psychology and sociology programs in almost every country in the world. She's currently the CEO of the Institute of Relational Harm Reduction and Public Pathology Education, that's a big name, which provides instruction on dangerous relationships and therapy for those attempting to exit relationships with narcissists, socio, and psychopaths, and just launched an exciting online psychopathology magazine featuring some of the country's leading researchers on personality disorders. It's called Safe Relationships Magazine, saferelationshipmagazine.com. Well, Sandra, it's an honor to have you on Crime Prevention 101.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Now, Sandra, what exactly is a dangerous man? How do we define it?
Well, dangerous is anyone that, by nature of their own disorder, has an incapacity to change. And those are the ones who are women have these revolving door relationships with, and they keep thinking he's going to get it at any moment. He might go through treatment or counseling, whatever, but what we're finding is dangerous is related to a lot of the personality disorders and socio and psychopathy, and that those people have the least amount of change in the relationship. So whatever the dangerous patterns are and behaviors, they are likely to continue, which puts women at risk.
Without really the ability to change, is that what you're saying? They don't have the fiber or whatever it is that you need to make real changes.
Well, I think the biggest breakthrough we've had in understanding dangerous relationships has come through MRI brain imaging of some of the personality disorders and psychopaths as well, and that there's hardwiring. The brain is definitely different. Some of the problems we're seeing with violence and impulse control in dangerous relationships actually has a neuroscience foundation to it.
Now, and you bring up a good point, because when we talk about abusive, it's not just physical violence, right, we're talking about.
No. Emotional, verbal, physical, sexual, spiritual, financial. And any of those can be harmful to, a person. They don't have to, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, physical violence.
Okay, and that's, I really want to make, and that's key, because we're only, people are, when we talk about domestic violence, abusive relationships, people think we're only talking about physical, and I make sure that that's very, very clear.
Now, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And most of, physical is usually down there. There's usually emotional and verbal, even financial, long before, if ever, there is physical violence.
Now, in your book, How to Spot a Dangerous Man, you encourage women to take responsibility for their own safety, and especially if we put it in the context of that there are some men that are simply going to be able to change. It's just as bottom line as that. So how do people take responsibility for their own safety?
Well, first of all, by taking responsibility for their own choices. If they are in a relationship where change is not happening, then their safety is definitely at risk. So if he has gone through batter intervention or anger management or forms of counseling and things still are not changing, that is a red flag. For pathologists, that's what we look for, people who keep going through treatment, kinds of treatment over and over again. And a lot of times, women don't know that. They watch their other friends who have more normal partners go to counseling and things change. And so I think they miss the exit door prior to a lot of damage by waiting it out and just thinking that this is like willful behavior on his part, when it may be way more than that. So if she's had a history of picking dangerous nurse, if she's on number two or three or four, whatever it is, this becomes as much a part of what she needs to look at as it does, just about him. What we found from the Women Who Love Psychopaths research, and with the Women Who Love Narcissists, is that these women show 8 to 97% higher percentages in certain temperament traits, such as tolerance and empathy, which may be a contributing factor to not only their pattern election in these men, but their ability to tolerate these relationships.
And we see that you work in my field long enough, you see that it's so difficult for them to get out of a relationship, and they find another one to do it to them.
Yeah, we spend all of our research dollars studying the abuser or studying psychopaths without really studying the women, because to study women in some circles is to victim bash or victim blame. And that's as ridiculous as saying, study cancer, we're somehow blaming the person who got cancer. After 20 years of doing this, I just began to think there were some patterns in women's temperament, which is innate. We're born with our own temperament. And if these are risk facts for her, her safety is always going to be an issue until she learns what is placing her at risk. 97% higher tolerance than other men who have never picked men like this is certainly maybe, one place to begin and look at safety.
So would that be therapy? And in other words, when you get out of that bad relationship, you got to examine how you got into the first place?
Well, we do look at patterns of selection. We go back all the way, as far back as we can go. We look at family dynamics. We look at exposure to pathology, especially children, because they learn to normalize abnormal behavior. But we also do a lot of awareness about her own risk factor and her temperament. When we grasped this and put this on a bell chart, it looked like the Rocky Mountains. It was not a bell curve. This off the end of the graph paper, these women that have picked these guys over and over again have some unprecedented risks in their temperament. That's not their fault. They're born with a lot of compassion, a lot of empathy. It's what makes these women fabulous women. But it also makes them a target for these kinds of guys that are actually looking for the kinds of women. And so this
and they
is not
happening.
Excuse me?
I was going to say, they can learn how not to make those same mistakes again without becoming less compassionate, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. It's like it's guarding a part of themselves where, first of all, these women just cannot date like other women date that don't have these what we call super traits, these temperament traits that are like off the Richter scale. So a lot of them have to slow down, date slower, have a lot of other people, support people, and them date openly in front of other people, and become acutely self-aware of her own trait, put her at risk. But we've had really, really good luck once the women really understand proclivity with the super traits of them getting out there and doing better next time around.
Oh, good. Excellent. And you also talk in this book about safe ways to get out of a hazardous relationship if you realize that you're one and it's not going to change. Just very quickly, we have about a minute, so can you just go over some ways that they can do that?
Well, I think the biggest issue is that these guys do not break up like normal guys do. They probably realize that by now, that these guys are boomerangs. You know, you throw them out and they keep coming back and coming back. And that a lot of times they are very dangerous. These are the guys who stalk, who child abduct, who those kinds of high-risk behaviors. And so in these cases, even more than others, they need assistance in getting out. And a lot of these women are very competent professional women. They don't like to reach out, you know, for help, whether it's a counselor, a domestic violence shelter, a victim advocate. They don't really want to go get a restraining order. These are women who very much feel like they have the skills on their own to get out. But these relationships, more than others, need help in getting out. And I think that's the biggest thing, is to ask for what you need so that the first time you make an attempt at getting out, you're successful. You know, you don't have that revolving door thing where you're going back and going back, that you're successful first time.
All right. Well, this is a book of hope. It's How to Spot a Dangerous Man. How can people get a hold of this book?
Through the magazine site, Safe Relationships Magazine, or through Amazon.com.
Very good. And if they want to get a hold of you, sir, if they've got some problems they want to talk over, how do they do that?
I can go through the magazine site. There's links right there at SafeRelationshipMagazine.com.
Well, Sandra, thank you so very much for being with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. So appreciate it.
All right, stay with me through this brief pause, because if you're thinking about committing a crime, you'll find out what prison life will be like for you from prison coach Stephen Oberfest, coming right up.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information. There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Class is in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
This is Crime Prevention 101. Thanks for tuning in today. And we also have a site, crimeprevention101.com, where you can find more information about show topics and my wonderful guests. And you can also get on my mailing list or email me directly from there. Now, I want to introduce my next guest to you. Crane's New York News Magazine said about him, prison coach Stephen Fest is the white-collar criminal's last stop before hell. That's because after the case has been lost and those iron bars are about to clang shut, public officials, movie stars, socialites, and elite businessmen like Bernie Madoff go to someone like the former convict to learn how to cut life in prison, lessons that can cost up to $20,000. Stephen learned his craft honestly by serving 15 months in prison for racketeering, and he's been plying his trade since the year 2000, when a rash of high-profile, white-collar crimes put the opportunity in his lap. But he's 41 now, been straight for 15 years, and drives with, as he says, both hands on the wheel. Steve, welcome to Crime Prevention 101.
Thanks, Susan, for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, Steve, let's go back to where it all started. Let's talk a little bit about how you ended up in jail and what it was like for you there.
I went in jail because, everyone's, they're innocent, this and that. But basically, I was hanging around people who I shouldn't have been hanging around with, and I was slapped with numerous different crimes, and I was pretty much, I had to take a plea bargain in order for me to save my butt. And this is not unusual in, crime punishment. So I wound up in a plea bargain for racketeering, and which forced me to do 15 months in prison.
Mm-hmm.
While I was in prison, I can't say I never had cuffs on me before, but it was always something low, something not that big of a deal, certainly not a felony. But it quickly changed my life. Luckily, I was always I was born in New York, lived here all my life, so. I was a little bit of a tough street kid, a big boy, can handle my own, but at the same time, I walk very gently. And that, really prevented me from having, from falling into various traps that, prisons will have waiting for you, especially if you're a first-time inmate.
And you had no idea what to expect at that point.
Absolutely not. And, for me personally, or for anyone else who was a first-time inmate without any kind of preparation, it might be a time you felt cuffs around your wrists or around your ankles. Once those doors close behind you, it's not like, you feel that you don't feel like you have that rights. And the fact is that you don't. This is a place that, so removed or, and basically you're there to abide by the laws governed by the Bureau of Prisons, Department of Correction, and even more important, or just as important, the unwritten rules written by inmates themselves.
Mm-hmm. So, and this was just terrifying.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those kind of things that it's terrifying, but show fear, people will, you know, be more attracted to you. They can smell fear, and if they can smell it, they're going to, you know, you're an easy mark to, you know, get involved in an extortion scheme where, you know, protection racket's going on, and, you know, because you're showing fear. You walk in, you know, not cocky, but really, you know, minding your own business. Is, you know, it almost feels like the first day of school, where you don't know any is or, you know, where to sit, how to sleep, any of these kind of things that, you know, are not actually in the, you know, book form from the Bureau of Prisons. You pretty much have to learn them while running. And, you know, you have to be careful of who you trust and how you see people, because really when you're incarcerated, the things that might not be very important to you are extremely important to your fellow, you know, and respect goes a long way. So, you know, if people have problems with taking orders, or if they're really control freaks, those type of people are going to have to adjust very quickly in order to, you know, adapt to the life of a common inmate or any inmate in any correct facility in America.
So these are the things that you kind of learned on your own. Now, you got out, and when you got out, you became personal trainer.
I was doing personal training before I went in.
Oh.
But, you know, I just continued doing what I was very good at and, you know, built up my business. And one day one of my clients told me that one of her friends did something foolish and that, you know, it was a white-collar thing, and they're going to have to do a minimal amount of time in prison. And this person was very scared and wanted to know if they can come to me for to learn to defend themselves and get them in shape. And because, you know, this person was more into the fear of assault and really, you know, those Oz kind of shows on TV that they're afraid of. And they really should be concentrating on something completely different. But
interesting.
In any case, I said, sure, and I helped this person, and, you know, it didn't really occur to me that this is a business yet. And then all of a sudden, I'm watching, you know, Ed Ron and Tyco go in, all this, you know, how all these people of white-collar nature are serving more time and heavier stints than a crack dealer. You know, when that came about, you know, to my attention, and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, there's a 30 or 60 day time before you surrender. What are these people who've never even been into a fight, never been to, you know, never even had a ticket? What are these people going to do within those 30 to 60 days? Or how are these people going to adapt into a place where, I mean, you're not even, you know, I doubt these people have had smelled the smells they're going to encounter, you know, the type of food they're going to eat, the whole restriction of just everything. It's a very controlled environment, and, you know, people are not used to that. So, I started putting together a program where, you know, piece by piece, we introduce every facet of the, the system and how it's going to be for you, how for you, you know, to serve time. They should walk in thereafter being prepared by us, knowing what they're going to know, what they're going to hear, what they're going to take, knowing who to look at, who not to look at, you know, make stupid mistakes. You know, an easy one might be someone new. You might want to approach a prison officer and, you know, and ask them a question. And, you know, even though it might be a very innocent thing to do, if everyone else you do that, automatically going to label you snitch. And you could have asked, you know, when's shower time, whatever they want to ask, everyone's going to think that's a snitch. And from that moment on, he's going to have a lot of attention brought to himself. And that's the type of thing that, you know, the reason you want to remain and become invisible, because as soon as you're a public guy and you don't have experience in the cell, you know, people will take advantage of you in many ways.
Well, that's interesting. So you never want to talk to any of the prison officials, if you can help it.
Well, I mean, you really want to, I mean, it better be something really important, but really it's like, this is the type of situation where I don't think there's any there that you can trust. The best thing is to mind your own business, do your own time. If you are if you are a gifted attorney or someone who can help others with, like, plea, you know, sentencing, and they can help other people, any with legal matters in their while they're incarcerated, they do so. If they can help people get GEDs, they should do so. But otherwise, you know, this is a time for them to concentrate on those, pay back society, you know, get into the best shape you can, try to get into the best spiritual mind you can, and try not to get beaten by the system, and back to your family like a Vietnam War veteran. There's a lot of post-traumatic stress syndrome involved in this, and a lot of families don't realize that the man that they, you know, waiting for 3 years is not exactly the same man who came back.
And that's the other thing also, do you work with the clients and our family that's behind, right?
Absolutely. Really, to, you know, to do this right, you have to really, it's a family effort. It's this is for everyone who's close to you together, and you're going to get through it. You know, unless you really cross the wrong people and follow, you know, do the exact opposite of everything I say to do, you're not going to have a problem, and you will come out. So the thing is, preparing your, you know, almost preparing your, you know, preparing the way that you come out when you go in. So when you go in, you're already thinking about how you're going to come out, what are you going to do, and that, you know, that. When you start going to assimilate back into your community and start become a, you know, part of your community again, you know, it doesn't really you don't really show the scars that prison has left on you.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, you know, there are many psychological and physical scars that people incur while they're in prison.
Now that's what we want them to come out a better person. Now. You got a kind of a big organization there. I was at your website, and let's give out the site for people who, you know, might be facing jail time. What's the website from?
The website is www.prisoncoach.com, and it is somewhat extensive because I work with a team of you know, I call it my dream team. When OJ went to have his first trial and he got off, he had the dream team. Well, I put together special consultants or my core consultant team, and, you know, people are former Secret Service agents who have made a mistake one way or another and have put, you know, done 28 months in federal custody.
You've got a whole crew there.
Yes.
To help out. I love that. And there's even the possibility of a reality TV show, right?
Yeah,
coming down the pike for you.
It's in the works.
All right, prisoncoach.com. Good to know, and I'm going to keep your name in my files, Stephen. I run across all sorts of things. So I thank you so much for being with me today. I think it opens up a lot of eyes today.
Great, it's a pleasure.
Well, this is Crime Prevention 101. Please stay tuned, because coming up is my favorite part of the show, where I talk to one of the Crime Stoppers groups and we try and catch a criminal or solve a cold case.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Susan Bartlestone, host of Crime Prevention 101, and I want to tell you about My Mobile Witness, a revolutionary service that transforms your camera phone into a personal safety device. My Mobile Witness believes safety is improved when you remove anonymity from dangerous scenarios. If you're in a stalking situation, for example, if you have an order of protection against someone, or if your profession places you in situations that are potentially dangerous, I want you to check out My Mobile Witness. and you parents of college students, ask the school to check out the My Mobile Witness University program with custom-tailored options aimed at keeping both students and faculty safe. Every campus could benefit from the My Mobile Witness University service. For more information, go to mymobilewitness.com.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another? Don't you wish you had someplace to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
This is Susan Bartlestone. And I just want to remind you that Crime Prevention 101 is available on iTunes, so you don't even have to be at your computer to listen. Okay, now right now it's time for our Let's Catch a Criminal section. And I want to introduce you to Lieutenant Thomas Kern, 24-year veteran of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police. And he has served as absolutely everything. He's been a patrol officer. He's worked with child abuse investigations. He's been a hostage crisis negotiator. I mean, this was I could go on and on. He's also been associated with the Crime Stoppers organization for more than 10 years. He's the program director for Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana. And he's also the chairman of the Crime Stoppers USA Board of Directors. And he sits on the board for Crime Stoppers International. He's stopped a lot of crime. Tom, welcome.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
Let's talk very quickly about Crime Stoppers, and particularly Crime Stoppers USA.
Well, Crime Stoppers programs across the country are independent, not-for-profit organizations formed in communities to address the crime problem, to work with the police, the news media, and the community at large to put the faces of criminals out there, whether it's an unsolved crime or a fugitive that's wanted for a felony crime, and asking the public for help to assist the police and phone in those tips to help locate those people that are diminishing the quality of life in those neighborhoods. And we've been very successful over the years. Millions of tips have been taken by our local Crime Stoppers programs and forwarded on to federal, state, and local law enforcement. Those tips have led to well over a half a million felony arrests over the years. Nearly a million criminal cases have been closed, and more than $4 billion in stolen property, illegal drugs, and cash have been recovered, all from anonymous tips provided through Crime Stoppers and then given to the police for investigation.
And I think that point is, I like to reinforce that it's all anonymous. If you see something and you're nervous about getting involved, you don't want to, you know, have to step up in public and acknowledge who you are, you can do it anonymously. And there is a reward involved, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Of course, you know, I want to say that the best thing anyone can do is work directly with the police, be a good witness, testify if necessary, and be involved in the process to make sure bad guys, you know, see the justice that they should and that the victims, you know, get the justice that they deserve. But, you know, there are people out there for whatever reason that are unwilling or unable to come forward and get directly involved. They're too close to someone that may have committed a terrible crime, and, of course, they're afraid of retribution. And that's why Crime Stoppers is here, to give those people the opportunity to give that information. And, yes, there is a modest cash reward. Most programs offer a cash reward of up to $1,000. That's not tax dollars. It's all money raised by the local nonprofit, the local charity, you know, to give that little bit of a reward to folks. But, you know, statistically, about 30% of the people never claim the money. They just want that avenue to provide the information anonymously.
Wonderful. That's good to know. Now, talk a little bit about Crime Stoppers USA. That's just kind of the central director.
Well, you know, we do. Like I said, we have hundreds of these programs around the United States, and they are the power of Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers USA is the representative nationally and at an international level of all the programs throughout the United States. Crime Stoppers has expanded into Canada, Europe, Australia. Recently, this last year, we went into New Zealand, and a couple years ago into India. So it has become a global operation of sorts and spreading this type of service to, you know, citizens around the world. So USA is, Crime Stoppers USA is the representative of the programs. Here in the United States, we're working with federal agencies to, you know, become more valuable to them on a national level. We are working to try and promote Crime Stoppers through national news media outlets, just like you're providing us here today, and to develop resources that we can give back to the local programs that will be shared, you know, to the millions of people that we're already serving.
Fantastic. And Crime Prevention 101 radio show is absolutely delighted and proud to have a hand in this.
Well, and, you know, we appreciate the opportunity, and, of course, we will work with you to try and get the voice of Crime Stoppers throughout the United States on your show and to provide maybe some of the faces that have escaped from their community or some running somewhere around the country right now.
Terrific. And speaking of that, let's talk about the fugitive that we're looking for today.
Well, yeah, out of Indianapolis, Indiana, we do have a wanted felon that we are looking for. We're working with the U.S. Marshals on this. As a matter of fact, we've been working on all the federal agencies and state and local agencies on this massive roundup that took place in June of 2007. 36 people were indicted in Indianapolis, Indiana, on federal charges for conspiracy to possess and intent to distribute cocaine. Out of the roundup that took place, 35 of them, of the suspects, were rounded up. $350,000 in cash was seized, 25 firearms, 15 vehicles. So this was a large-scale operation. One of those suspects is still on the loose, and that's who we're looking for today. His name is Kushro McDaniel. He's a 28-year-old black male, and he's about 5 feet 8 inches tall, weighing 175 pounds. And we've received information over the last couple of years that indicates he may be in Texas or maybe even in Mexico, but he's down there, probably in that southwest part of the United States. And if anybody is listening today and they can go onto your website, take a look at his face, and they can tell us where he is. They can always call our toll-free phone number, 800-222-TIPS. That's 800-222-8477. Or they can log on to Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana at crimetips.org and submit an anonymous tip online, and we will get the U.S. Marshals on it and see if we can't locate him.
Now, is Kushro McDaniel's picture on the crimetips.org website as well?
Yes, he should be on our website. And if anybody sees him, give us a call, send us an anonymous tip online, and we'll help out.
And I'm going to link on my homepage on my VoiceAmerica.com website. I'm going to put a link to the Crime Stoppers of Indiana website.
Great.
And I'm going to post that number, and I'll get that picture from you, and we'll put that picture up there, and I'm going to put it on my own CrimePrevention101.com blog as well, because I really want to catch some criminals with you. I'm so delighted.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, of course, anyone out there that wants to get involved with their local Crime Stoppers program, I would highly encourage them. As I stated, the programs are all not-for-profit organizations. We're always looking for great individuals locally to get involved with the programs, become leaders, and, of course, businesses are the main supporters of those local Crime Stoppers programs. So, you know, if you're not familiar with us, get involved with your local program. Look them up, give them a call, and please support our efforts.
How difficult is it to get a Crime Stoppers group in your own area started? They have to go through Crime Stoppers USA?
Well, you know, we will provide, if someone wants to join our organization, and we do have a legal advisor, and we have a number of people who have been involved with Crime Stoppers for many years who can give some opinions and advice on getting started, some of the documentation that's necessary. But it is basically starting up a business in your community. It is a not-for-profit organization. You have to have a board of directors and the funding to go along with that. But most importantly, you have to have a firm relationship between law enforcement and the local news media. Without those two components, you really don't have a Crime Stoppers program, because you have to have the local news media to put those faces out there and encourage people to call Crime Stoppers, and then you have to have the law enforcement component that will follow up on the tips. So it is really a community-based organization that is fighting crime.
And if someone wants some information on starting their own group, can they go to crimestopperstips.org, or what website should they use, or what number should they call?
Well, go to Crime Stoppers USA website. That's crimestoppersusa.com, all spelled out. And there's a link on there where you can contact us, and it will submit your information to us, and we'll have one of our regional directors. We've divided the United States up into 14 regions, and we have a director for each area that works with folks that want to get programs started, and works to help support local Crime Stoppers programs in their region.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being with me today. And I really hope we can do something to help you catch that this wanted felon. Thanks again, Tom.
Thank you, Susan, for your support.
Well, I can't believe it. Time has flown by again. Don't forget, I'm going to put all the links to all my guests on my Voice America host page and on my crimeprevention101.com website. So if you want more information, any of the show topics, you can get it directly from there. And that's a wrap for now, but never fear, because you and I will be doing this again next week, same time, same channel, when I'll have more stories that need to be told, more hot crime topics, and of course, lots of tips and resources for you. It'd be a crime not to listen. Stay tuned and stay safe.
We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. If you want to learn more about Susan's guests, sign up for her newsletter, or find out about upcoming teleseminars and workshops, go to www.crimeprevention101.com today. Have a great week and a safe week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.